You know, that's a good thought. I will cling to the old rugged cross because that's what's going to get us into heaven. Our belief in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, paying for our sin. But the last phrase is even better. I'll exchange the old rugged cross for a crown. Amen. And you get to heaven. You get to heaven. All kind of crowns will be waiting for you as you serve the Lord here on the earth. So good to be in God's house this morning. We're glad you're here. Started thinking about, well, this class, sorry, it's pretty empty, but most of them are sitting over here behind me. So it'll fill up in a minute. I was standing up there a minute ago, and I thought, well, I better get down before I give Leonard a heart attack. He thinks I'm going to sit down with the choir. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome. We pray that God blesses you as we worship the Lord together. It's good to be in God's house. May we pray. Father, it's so good to come and worship. Thank you for the people that have gathered here. Thank you for any that might be in the parking lot listening on the car radio. Thank you for those who will listen later on the website. And Lord, I thank you that the same Holy Spirit that speaks here in the sanctuary, speaks in the parking lot, and speaks on through the website. I thank you that the Holy Spirit's not limited to a place or a time, but Lord, that the Holy Spirit can work through your word anywhere, anytime. And Lord, you know our needs today. You know which ones might be lonely, which ones might be hurting, which ones might have some type of sickness, disease, financial need, be struggling with a relationship. Father, through your wisdom, through your mercy, and through your awesome power, we submit those needs to you, knowing that you want the best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. It's amazing to me how sometimes, as a matter of fact, the Spirit of the Lord works, and we select music. We started off with Brenda, the old rugged cross. We're going to sing a hymn this morning about at Calvary, and then the choir is going to sing a song, Victory Shall Be Mine, all of that through the victory of the cross, and all of that tied together, and that's amazing this morning how our songs are going to work together. If you would, please, let's all stand together and our hymn sing at Calvary, page 138 is on the board. You may be seated. To it. I have some announcements besides Kathy being okay. You are all right, aren't
you? Yeah. You just thought attention to her.
I know I did, and I shouldn't have done it, but she, I think she thought, well, I thought she failed, but you did. You're okay. Kathy, it's usually me. Don't worry about it. Just,
we have to take turns.
I have some announcements this morning for you to, we will have church council meeting today at 11. We'll meet down in the fellowship hall. So at 11, you church council members, please be in your place at 11 today. Next Sunday, we will have youth meetings and with supper, and the adult discipleship training will also be next Sunday. We have, before I talk about NC Home Missions, we have a video. Jeff, I know you want to share that with us this morning on NC Home Missions.
As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be first in line to provide love and hope through the gospel. God has filled our hearts with a joy that must be carried forth in love and ministry to others. Our efforts are fueled by the local church for the local church. Volunteers are consistently needed for ministries like disaster response and the work of Baptists on Mission. From preparing meals, rebuilding homes from those displaced by disasters, a fleet of mobile medical, dental, and health screening units offer free health services to underserved patients. All patients who receive treatment also hear the good news of Jesus Christ from pastors and volunteers who provide care. We also operate mission camps in our state while mobilizing ministry projects that impact our nation and across the world. Your support has also allowed NC Baptist to launch Send NC to facilitate the launch of new churches, all with the goal of reaching the unreached in North Carolina and beyond. Offerings received through NCMO help mobilize men, women, and students to use their God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to serve in a variety of ways as you help provide relief for today and hope for tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, this is about this month of September marks the primary emphasis on the North Carolina missions offering. So we have a goal of 1,500. And so let's pray that we'll meet that goal and exceed that goal and do that. One other thing, too, I don't want to remind you of in announcements is that Wednesday night services, we still have our Bible study. We're working on the book of Job. The pastor is doing a great job with that. And we're learning what true friends need to be. Right, Pastor? What true friends need to be, and we all work on that. We all are good friends, each other. But let's all be here if we can. Come Wednesday night for that, okay? Adult choir practice will be held next Wednesday evening, and so be here for that, okay? All the practices for the choir will be on the 2nd and the 4th Wednesday. The 2nd and the 4th. Keep that in mind, Chris. You'll be okay. So, all right. Okay. Church-wide discipleship training. We've got that down for the 15th. Okay. Any other announcements I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay. All right. Then I do have some prayer requests I want to share with you that I've already received this morning. Let's remember Brother Jim. Brother Jim goes Tuesday and has some tests on his throat. And Brother Jim, his voice is, the reason he's not in the choir this morning, because his voice is ailing this morning. So let's pray for Brother Jim and do that. Pray for Hava Mock, and that she's a friend of Lionel's and his cancer. So let's remember her at a very young age with cancer. Let's continue to remember Doug Burgess, who had a fall, but he's doing better, but he still has some work to do to get back to his normal degree of health. So let's remember Doug Burgess this morning. Do we have others this morning? Yes,
He's hurt his shoulder at work, and they're having some financial struggles, so keep them in prayer.
Okay, all right, we can do that. All right, yes.
Remember Teresa Haycock, she's Eva Ann's daughter.
Yes.
She's waiting on some consultations and stuff with her heart, and blood clots and stuff.
Is she going to be okay? I think she's going to have tests.
She's going. Tuesday, she's supposed to be on last Wednesday, and the cardiologist is not going to be there, so we'll have an appointment Tuesday to meet with the cardiologist for a consult about the filter.
Okay.
And then they'll go from there. As far as we know now, she will have the filter to take care of the blood clots.
Okay, wonderful. That's good news.
That's good news. That's good news.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, let's remember Teresa. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have a church that we can come and that we can worship. And Lord, we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And we don't worry about people telling us we can't. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom that we have as Christians. But Lord, don't let us forget the fact that the freedom that we have as Christians, we are responsible, Lord, to tell others. Lord, lay upon our hearts burdens for the loss, I pray, as we go forward, Lord. And Lord, as we pray a special prayer for our service today, Lord, and Pastor Jim, as he comes before us today, we pray for him. We pray for our choir this morning, Lord, as we back, the choir is back singing for you and your praises, and we thank you for each member. And Lord, there are those that we've been specifically asked to lift up to you today, Lord, and I want to do that at this time. We pray for Brother Jim, Lord, as he goes Tuesday for tests. Lord, we pray for his throat, Lord, that you'll give him healing, Lord, and he'll be back to a degree of health. We pray for Hava Mock, Lord, as she's battling the cancer, Lord, and we ask a special blessing and for healing for her body. We pray for Doug Burgess as he is convalescing from a fall. And Lord, we understand he's still having problems, but we pray for his health. We pray for him. We pray for Corey and Hillary. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that they might be back with us again, Lord, and you might restore them to their health and their happiness. We pray for Teresa Haycock, Lord, and her heart test that's coming. We pray, Lord, for healing for her body as well with the blood clots. And then, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, Lord, we ask your continued blessing upon us, and we're so thankful, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Okay, as I said, our choir is going to sing this morning. We're going to sing a song about the victory through the cross, and we're back in that theme. And so I hope you enjoy us singing. It's good to have them back, don't you agree? And it's good to see them back. And yeah, let's go ahead. That's good. Yeah, we got lights up here, Wes. Way to go, man. We can actually see our words. It's great. We'll see how. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. All right, we're saying victory. Excuse me. Victory shall be mine. Here we go. Let's go, choir. Page 4. children, you are dismissed.
If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So, right there at the very end. And we looked at the first five verses of 1 John chapter 5 last week. But I do want to tie back in. Verses 4 and 5, because they go along exactly with the song that was just sung. For whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There is no such thing as a trouble-free life. From the time you're born to the time you step into glory, or you step into that other place, which is not glory, there are going to be problems. The world, the flesh, the devil are going to tempt you. There are going to be physical ailments from time to time. I dare say there's not a single person in this room that hadn't had at one point or other some physical problem. There are going to be financial difficulties. There are going to be relationship difficulties. I was texting with a friend of mine last night, and I don't even know. She and I usually get into some pretty long texts sometimes, and we were texting about things that are going on in the church, and she talked about some person that thought he ran the church grabbing the preacher's wife and jerking her around. And that particular church, they called a regional conference and invited the man to move his membership somewhere else. But you know, we're going to have temptations. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have difficulties. And the beautiful news that John gives us, and he's speaking from the realm of the Holy Spirit, we can be overcomers. No matter what problem, no matter what difficulty we might face, we can be overcomers. How? Through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's good news. When you face a difficulty, you can be an overcomer. Sometimes the Lord removes it. Sometimes the Lord takes you over it. Sometimes the Lord takes you through it, but you can be an overcomer, and that's wonderful. And then through the rest of this chapter, which is the last chapter in the book, John brings up about three or four other subjects. And I wish the Holy Spirit had told him to write more about every one of them, because you think, okay, I understand that a little bit, but I'm not sure I really understand all of that. And so if you look to me for great revelation, no, just ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the truth is. Holy Spirit gives us some glimpses of truth, but we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to know all of it. All right, let's look at verses 6 through 10. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit of truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Jesus is the reality of our salvation. And that's what John is wanting us to see here. The Holy Spirit speaking through John saying, there's proof of who Jesus is. And notice in verse 7, he talks about the Holy Trinity, Father, Word, or Son, and Spirit. He said, in heaven, there's an agreement. You remember John in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and became our Savior, Jesus. So when he says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, he said, in heaven, they are in agreement that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he says, on earth, you've got, in verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they agree. And he says, you have the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you have the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, and you have the water. Now, I know at least two explanations for the water. Take either one of them, or really both of them would go together. One is the baptism of Jesus. It says the baptism of Jesus, the cross, and then the Holy Spirit witnessed the other. And then the other is that when Jesus was pierced by the spear on the cross, out came water and blood to prove that he was really dead. Because for years there were, and still from time to time, in fact, several years ago, I was given a book that talked about the fact that Jesus didn't really die. That when they gave him that stuff on the sponge, it was sort of a knockout anesthesia type stuff, and they put him in the tomb, and his disciples sneaked in and took him out, and he was still alive, blah, 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 blah. Wrong, 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 wrong. And so the fact that when they pierced his side, water and blood came out was a sign he was really, really deceased. So John says, here is a witness to who Jesus is, that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. Now, we won't turn there, but in the book of Romans, in several places, talks about the witness of the Holy Spirit. And it says, if you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't belong to the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how many good things are said about you at your funeral. It doesn't matter how many churches you're a member of. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. I ran into a lady, and I know at the county library a couple of years ago, and she said she'd been baptized 4 times in the same church. I don't make any difference. Does she know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and does the Spirit of God in her witness to the very presence of the Lord? It doesn't matter what our education is, what our finances are. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is all that really, really matters. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself, the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And then verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's real simple. It's real simple. I can sprinkle you with holy water. I can dunk you 14 times in this baptistry. But the only thing that's going to get you to heaven is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to get you into heaven. And he says, if you've got Jesus, you've got eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, there is no eternal life. And there's something special once you have the Holy Spirit living within you. The Spirit within you begins to respond to the Spirit in your brothers and sisters that also are saved. And that's a beautiful thing, is to, I know, you know, Leonard going off to sing at various places. People walk up to him after the singing or before the singing, and something in him and something in them respond together, because he's a child of God and they're a child of God. I know how it is, you know, like, especially like when I visit the church in Oklahoma and spend time with those folks, the Spirit in me responds to the Spirit in them. We don't all have to be a part of the same denomination. We just have to be a part of the family of God. And the family of God, my spirit, touched by the Holy Spirit, responds to your spirit, touched by the Holy Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of God, we don't belong to him. And if we don't have Jesus, we're in a world of hurt. Please, as you correspond and share with family members and co-workers and next door neighbors, don't let anybody fool themselves in thinking and saying to you, well, it don't matter what religion you are, or I'm a good person, I'm better than our neighbor over there that stays drunk all the time or whatever. Do we have Jesus? That's the key. That is the real key. No Jesus, no eternal life. Yes, Jesus, have eternal life. Now, verse 14. Well, let's go back to 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that we hear he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's one of the most awesome prayer promises in the entire Bible. He says you have a personal relationship with Jesus. You go to the Father with a prayer request that's in his will. He's going to automatically hear you because you're in his will. And he says you're going to get an answer, a positive answer. Now, that's an awesome promise. An awesome promise. And we ought to be walking in more answered prayer than we are, most of us. What are some of the keys? We've got to know God's will. We've got to know God's will. Right there's God's will from Genesis to Revelation. But do we study it enough to know God's will? I mean, you know, a CFO of a big corporation, chief financial officer, is going to know what he's legally allowed to write checks, to pay which bills. And if he's an honest and has integrity, he's not going to write checks the company says aren't authorized. And so he knows the will of the company. And so he writes checks based on the will of the company. And he says, we pray in the will of God. Now that doesn't automatically mean that the prayer is going to be answered immediately. Y'all know I was saved at 8 years old. I prayed for my daddy for the next 40, 50 years. I claim that promise. It's not your will, God, that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. I stood on that and I prayed that and I prayed that and I said, Lord, why isn't my daddy saved? But, you know, a year or two before he died, he gave his heart to Jesus. And he told me, he says, last night I prayed that prayer. I'd have felt a lot more comfortable if he'd got saved when I was 9 or 10 or 14. But I was probably about 60. But God answered that prayer. Now, there's some prayers we pray. We've got to be sure. Okay, back up. We can't violate somebody else's will. They have a say, just like my dad. He had all those years where he could say yes or no to Jesus. Now I'll pick on some of you ladies. You know, my wife's dead. I could look around and say, okay, here's all the widows in the church. Lord, I want to marry. I'll point toward the back door. Lord, give me her. Well, her may not like me. Whoever her is. I can't just automatically violate her will. You know, sometimes kids do that. I've heard several people that teach in Bible colleges where young men, young women come when they're planning on going into the ministry, going to the mission field, and they'll say, now listen, guys and girls, just because you look across the room and see somebody that piques your curiosity doesn't mean you can just claim them as your husband or your wife. They have something to say about it. We can't violate other people's wills by claiming this promise. But if we just learn the will of God, just learn the will of God, and begin to pray the will of God, we'll see a lot more positive answers than many of us see. Now, let's look at verses 18 through 21, and then we're going to go back and look at some others. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Our lifestyle should show forth our faith. our lifestyle should show forth our faith. If we sin and it doesn't bother us, and we can keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and it doesn't bother us, we need to stop and say, am I really born again? Or am I just fooling myself? We're not going to reach sinless perfection in this world. That's only going to be in glory. But here he talks about the fact that we need to be living in such a way that we give glory to God. He said, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We don't keep on sinning. We don't keep on living for the devil. He says, notice the phrase, he keepeth himself. And I think it's in Romans where it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Who's responsible? I let or don't let. You let or don't let. I keep myself or you don't keep myself. You keep yourself or don't keep yourself. It all comes down to the fact that we make choices. We make choices. And we can choose to keep sinning and keep sinning. And I realize that some sins are more difficult to overcome than others. And sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. But we can be overcomers. We can be victorious over sin. And we make those choices ourselves. Nobody else makes them for us. Now, I skipped verses 16 and 17, and I want to focus on those for a moment. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. One of you Bible scholars want to tell me what the sin to death is? Most folks would say rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's as good an answer as I can give you. As I was reading this and thinking about this week, you know, wouldn't it be neat when you get to heaven, you go through the gate, and there's this big billboard that says, read the next few billboards and we'll answer all your questions. Next billboard says, here's where Cain got his wife. You remember, had Cain and Abel, and then Cain killed Abel, and then suddenly Cain's married, and everybody says, well, where did he get that woman? We don't know. We suspect it was a sister, you know, but we don't know. So here's where Cain got his wife. Next one. Here's what Paul's thorn in the flesh really was. And the next one is, here's the unpardonable sin. And the next billboard says, here's John's sin unto death. Yeah, it'd be neat to get to heaven and get our questions all answered in the first half mile we walk through the gate. We don't really know. But the point is really here. He talks about praying for people. How much do we care about people that are unsaved and people that are backslidden? How much do we really care? Brother Jim might correct me after I finish, or maybe one of you, because I'm trying to think back for years and years and years. It seemed like to me when I first started preaching, we lamented the fact that it took 17 Southern Baptists to win one person to Jesus in a year. You know, they divided the number of Southern Baptists how many million Southern Baptists, by how many were saved? And they said, took about 17 of us to win one person to Jesus. And we lamented the fact that it took that many of us to win somebody to Jesus. And then a little while, a few years later, it was like it took 29 of us to win one person to Jesus. And if I remember, it seemed like to me the last figure I said it was something like 49 of us to win one person to Jesus. In other words, we're going in the wrong direction. How much do we care about people that are backslidden and people that are lost and on their way to hell? I read something this week that just sort of rattled my cage. If you would, turn with me to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And while you're turning there, I don't want you to raise your hand. No one embarrass me or anybody else. How many of us witnessed to one backslidden person this week? Or to one lost person this week? How many of us witnessed to one backslidden person or one lost person in the last month? How much do we care? Verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, to the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's as familiar to us as Baptists as John 3:16. And notice, Jesus said, I've got all power, all authority. He says, you go, you witness, you baptize, you make disciples, and lo, I go with you. The thing I was reading this week is by a Greek scholar. And he says, we read that little phrase, lo, and doesn't mean much to us. But he says, we really ought to read this as, wow, I'm going with you when you go witnessing. And then he makes the point that if we're not going witnessing, God isn't going with us. And he says, that's one of the reasons for the deadness in our churches. God's got nothing to do, reason to be with us, because we're not going. Now, let me illustrate it this way. If after the service, I said, I want all the married men to come up front, I need to talk to you. And y'all all gathered around, and I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a bunch of $100 bills. And I said, I got $100 for any man that wants to take his wife out to a fancy meal this week. And all the married men turned around and walked out the door and said, not interested. What am I going to do with my $100? I'm going to stick it back in my pocket and I'm going to give it to you. Why would God bring his Holy Spirit, his all power, and put it in us if we're not going? And that's what this Greek scholar was saying is happening. Said we have less and less and less, less interest in reaching the lost. And God said, hey, if you're not going, I got nobody to go with. I'm not just pouring my power on you to make you feel good. John says, you see your brother sinning. Do you care? Do you really care? That sort of shakes me up. How long has it been since we've had an altar? Most churches have had an altar full of people praying for lost folks. over the last, I'll say 10 years, 15 years, I've had a number of parents, good parents, come to me and say, my little boy, my little girl's talking about accepting Jesus. And I've been, and grandma and grandpa and I have been talking to them, and would you talk to them too? Great, enjoy that. But I can't remember the last time somebody came to me and said, my kid has no interest in Jesus. Preacher, would you pray for them? I can't remember the last time. I can't remember the last time somebody came to me and said, I've got a next door neighbor, I've got a friend, I've got a relative that's on their way to hell. Preacher, would you go with me to witness to them? John says, listen, you got folks that are spiritually in danger. What are we going to do about it? Now, in a sense, I probably just made you feel bad. But flip it around. Hey, if I go, Jesus is going to have his arm around me. And all that authority and that power that belongs to Jesus is going to suddenly flow through me to do the witnessing. It's not a matter of what we're not doing. It's a matter of what we could be doing and the power in which we could be doing it. If Jesus had told the disciples, I know you guys, you know, you're fishermen and tax collectors and a bunch of other nobodies like I wrote about this week, but do the best you can. You thought, boy, that isn't fair. He ought to have picked a more educated bunch, a more biblically knowledged bunch. But no, Jesus said, hey, I don't care where your background is. I got all the power. I got all the power. You go and I'll go with you. That's what happened in the New Testament. And that's what the Lord would like to see happen in North Carolina, in the United States. I know a couple lives in Tulsa. No, they live in Broken Arrow. Same difference. So like say Indian Trail and Matthews and Charlotte, you know. They go mostly to India and to Pakistan. They had something like 1 million people saved last year. Giant crusades. And that wasn't just, let me see how many hands. That was situations where most of those people were brought in on buses. There was a Christian leader on every bus. They took down names and addresses as the bus went back to the whatever native village that bus came from. It was signified. And their goal is like 10 million or 20 million saved in the next few years. They're going and God's going with them. If we get it committed and we'll go, Jesus will go with you. As the Greek scholar said, not lo I am with you, but wow, my power will go with you. Now, I probably didn't answer all your questions for these scriptures, but go back and study them. And whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to you, whether it's to be a witness, whether it's to deal with sin, whether it's to have more faith when you pray, all of these are God's word to you and me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Is there someone that needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Would you come? Just come down the altar. If someone would like to become a member of this church, fellowship, would you come? Transfer your letter, and I'll meet you here. Does anyone like to come to the altar and just pray for a moment? We invite you to come. Right where you are, would you ask the Lord, is there somebody who's backslidden or somebody that's unsaved that you want me, Holy Spirit, to go and share Jesus? Share a word of encouragement. Someone I need to be praying for, Lord. Would you lay it on my heart? Help me to see their face, their name. Perhaps we need to pray, Lord, forgive me for being callous. Forgive me for not being as concerned as I could have been. Lord, the harvest fields are ripened to harvest. I pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the Barbies Grove harvest field, the Stanley County harvest field, the North Carolina harvest field, the United States harvest field, the world harvest field. Lord, give us a heart for the lost. And not just a caring heart, but a willing hand and a spoken voice. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord give you peace, be gracious unto you, in Jesus' name.